I'm going to give you a number of reasons. And the first one is this. He came to declare the love of God that he has for us. That's the first thing. The second thing is to demonstrate what love is. What does it look like? The third is to destroy the works of the devil. The fourth reason he came was to defeat death and hell. The fifth one was to deliver us from the power of sin. And number six, to distribute God's free gift of eternal life. And I think I could go on. I think that is possibly just a summary of the major reasons why Jesus came. Everybody say, for this reason. I believe we all know what is the most famous verse in the Bible. Give me the reference. Look at that. Give somebody next to you a high five and say, I know the Bible. I know the Bible. All right. Well, can you quote it? Can you quote it? Everybody, let's do it together. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, our children grew up in church. So they've only known church. I mean, that's what they did. That's where they went, Sundays. And I know some of you grew up the same way. And children have an amazing way of not hearing what is being said. And I'll never forget, on our way home one day from church, Cindy loved to talk. She hasn't changed. That's why she's the dean of the school, so she can really get it go. So she used to sing all the songs that they did in church, and she used to quote all the scriptures and everything else. And she leaned forward between the seats, and she said, Dad, I'm going to tell you the new one, John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only forgotten Son. Who would know what begotten means when you're that age, right? 6 years old. But that scripture lets us know that the reason Jesus came was to show us the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And that if we believe in him, we could have eternal life. God also shared something in a very similar verse. This is a crazy incident. We all know John 3:16. But do you know what 1 John 3:16 is? Same author. Let's look at it. John 3:16. But here's 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. But this is how we know what love is. One of the reasons Jesus came was to not only share the love of God, but to demonstrate what love is. This is what love is, that he would lay down his life for us. And you know, many times when we're going through hard times, difficulties, one of the first things that Satan does, the accuser, the liar as he is, he will say to you, God doesn't love you. That's the reason you're still suffering. That's the reason things haven't turned around. God just doesn't love you. And unfortunately, many of us suffer from inferiority complex. We may be big and bold and beautiful on the outside, but inside, we wimps because we look at ourselves differently to the way the world looks at us. And if we happen to suffer from this inferiority, we are more inclined to believe that God doesn't love us. The devil knows that. And he works that all the time. God doesn't love you. Next time he says that to you, just say, wait a minute. I've got a scripture that says God demonstrated his love to me by sending his Son. And he couldn't do more than that. That was the greatest thing he could ever do. Because as Cindy said, he gave his very best. He gave heaven's best to demonstrate his love to you. He couldn't do more than what he did. Can you say amen? Amen simply means, so be it. What a wonderful Savior. He rescued us out of the prison. You see, when Satan brought sin into the world, he put every human being in prison. He put them into a prison of sin where they couldn't escape. There was no way out of it. I often think about this amazing redemption plan that God put into place with Jesus coming to die on the cross. And honestly, if you think about it from purely a physical perspective, and you take the spiritual out of it, and you just think along physical lines, you go, I don't get it. I don't get it. How could the death of Jesus get us out of this prison of sin? Get us out of this bondage that Satan's got us in? Get us out of this loss and lack and everything that's going on in our life? And how is a death of somebody on a cross going to do that? And that's why we have to understand the reason Jesus came. We've got to understand it because there is a spiritual reason. And if we're only soulish people, if we're only wrapped up in the physical, what we can see, what we can touch, and so on, we miss it completely. We don't grasp this idea that there is a spirit realm. God is a spirit. Holy Spirit is a spirit. Angels are spirits. These are all real. The demons are spirit beings. Satan is a spirit being. And they're all real. Jesus spoke about the devil. He spoke to demons. And you know what? I mean, Jesus was not crazy. And he spoke to spirit beings. So we have to come to understand that there's another realm altogether that we may not be familiar with. And it's in that realm that Jesus died for us and brought deliverance and freedom from us. It's the strangest thing. But believing in what we can't see produces life in what we can see. 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this reason. This is the very reason he appeared, to destroy what the devil had done. See, this is what the devil done. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, sin rushed into the world. Satan was there already, as you know, and he is the author of sin, and he took us captive. The whole human race was taken captive spiritually, and it worked out in our relationships. Murder, killing, rape, theft, all of those things worked out from the spirit realm into our hearts. The Bible says that the heart of man back then was desperately wicked. Above everything else, was desperately wicked. But thank God, when you get born again, you get a new heart. A new heart that wants to do good, that wants to serve God, that wants to love people. And you go, how did that happen? It's called being born again. God takes an old stony heart out, gives you a brand new heart of flesh, and puts his spirit in you. You go, wow, what just happened to me? How did that happen? It was a spiritual experience. So Jesus comes and opens the prison doors. He literally says, you're free. If you believe in me, come on out. You don't have to sit there any longer. You can come out. It's amazing to me that people, today, if you went to the prison and you opened the doors and you said, the guys, you're free, you can go, you might get trampled to death on as they pass you by. But some of them go, no, it's a catch. When I run and I get out of here, somebody shoot me in the back. This is going to be police brutality. This is what's going to go on right here. You're going to let me go out, and then you're going to say I resisted arrest or something that's going to happen. No, I'm going to sit right back here. And that's how the human race is. We are cynical about freedom being offered for free. And we want to sit back and say, no, I'm not so sure that this freedom Jesus offers is real. I'm not so sure that I can trust it. In the meantime, he's saying, listen, I've dealt with the devil. I've opened the prison. You're free to come on out. And then some people still think, you know what? I'm better off in prison. I get a meal every day, a couple of meals every day, a nice hard bed, no rain on me. This is cool. Why would I want to go out? It's like sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. And the truth is, God is trying to bring you out of the prison that you're in. For this very reason, the Bible says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Everything that the devil has done, you got to understand this now. Bible's true. Everything that the devil has done, Jesus undid it. He undid it. And he releases you from the works of what the devil has done in your life. You're free to go. You're free to go. You don't have to stay in bondage of any kind one more day, one more hour, one more minute. Don't have to stay there. You're free to go. Your debt's been paid. Somebody out here wants to give the Lord a praise. Yeah. This is the very reason. Say, for this very reason. Jesus died on the cross. He took my sin. And you know, most people don't know this. He actually went to hell in your place. Bible says so. For 3 days. He told the people, he said, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man is going to be in the heart of the earth. 3 days. What was he doing? He was paying the price for our sin. He went there so that we don't have to. He went there so that we don't have to. Say, for this very reason. And then I love Revelations 1:18. I love this verse. Jesus says, I am he that lives and was dead. And that would have been cool right there. That would have been enough. But he goes on and he says, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Well, that's awesome. But he doesn't stop there. He goes further and he says, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Well, you know how he got the keys? He went down and got them. That's it. He went down and got them. He just went down and said, okay, hand me the keys. No. Hand me the keys. Hand me the keys. And Satan had to hand over the keys. Satan handed over the keys. Jesus, our victor, has the keys of death and of hell. What does that mean? You don't have to die anymore. That's what he said. You get born again. You don't have to die. He that believes in me, though he die, yet he will live. He will live because I've got the keys. I've got the keys of hell and of death. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Now, Jesus defeated death. He defeated hell, and he delivered us out of the power of the devil. You know that if you've been delivered out of the power of somebody, then they don't have any power over you. You hear me now? So, you know, in our church, we don't give testimony like this. Boy, the devil had me on the run this whole week. I was going everywhere. The devil was after me. He chased me down, and this broke, and that happened. I got a traffic fine, and this and that, and the devil was after me. My Bible says you've been delivered from the power of the evil one. Now, we testify. I had the devil on the run this week. When I was healing the sick, I went out there witnessing people. I had the devil on the run. The devil was sorry he got up this morning. But I'm witnessing for Jesus, and I'm in passing out devils and laying hands on the sick and giving money to the gospel. And that devil, he was sweating bullets because when I got up, he knew he was in trouble. Amen. Now, you can choose. You can choose. All right? You can choose. Who's your boss? Who's your boss? Jesus. Father God. Amen? Amen? I want to tell you a story. Some of you know, of course, you can tell I have a strange accent. But I was sent from South Africa to teach you how to speak. That's why I'm here. When we felt the Spirit of God move in our hearts to come here, it was a heart-wrenching situation. More so than just changing from one state to another. We were changing cultures. We were changing languages. We were changing from driving on one side of the road to driving on the wrong side of the road. Things that we had grown up with, that we were familiar with, we had to let go. We had to let friends go. We had to let relatives go. We had to say goodbye to church and to ministry. And I mean, honestly, I wept pools of tears. But I looked ahead and I chose not to look back. See, when we left with our two little children, we made a decision never ever to refer to South Africa as home. Because this is our home. And I've got news for you. We're just passing through. I'm a citizen of heaven. God lent me to Africa for 40 years, and he's going to lend me here for 40 years, and the rest I'm going to heaven. I'm just a pilgrim passing through, and so are you. So don't get too attached to this. But here's the thing. Had we looked back and hankered for that which we were leaving, we could have found reason to return. When things got difficult here in the States, we could have said, you know what, it was easier back there. Let's go back. And oftentimes, Christians, new Christians, begin to find difficulty serving God. Things go wrong. They lose their job. Family kick them out. Different stuff goes on in your life. And you look back, like Lot's wife, hankering back for what was, and you think it was better off back there. What you need to do is look up and set your eye on eternity. Set your eye on eternity. Look forward. Don't look back. You can't move forward looking back. You have to let go of what is behind you in order to move forward. And so it was that even when things got difficult when we got to the States, we never once turned and said, you know, let's go back. No, what we did is we said, you know what? God has got a future plan for us here. A future where we believe we can do more, bigger, bolder, and brighter things than we could have done in Africa being here. And when people used to ask me, so what are you doing here? I would say, God sent me as a missionary from Africa to America because you need it more than the Africans need it. Africa is the most missionarized continent on the face of the earth. In fact, there are more Christians in Africa than there are in America. Maybe the biggest churches in the world, 50,000 people Sunday morning, one church, multiple services, Nigeria. And there's many of them. There's many of them, all right? So don't be feeling sorry for Africans. Begin to feel sorry for Americans. Feel sorry for your neighbor. You don't have to go to Africa to missionize it. Missionize your street. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Amen. Yeah, I'm not asking for amens, but I'm just saying. We came here not considering the cost. We made that decision. We're going to go where God wants us to go. That mindset I got from Jesus. It wasn't mine originally. It came from Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was exalted after he went through the cross. But notice this. Jesus set his eye on eternity. When he was dying on the cross, he looked into eternity. I believe that Jesus saw us on the cross. I believe our faces passed before him. And he hung on the cross saying, and that's another one. And this is Mark, and this is Suzanne. I'm seeing this is Henry, this is Jackie. This is Paul, this is Kathy. He's looking like this. As he's dying, saying, this is Cindy, this is Jason. I'm seeing them. And as I've said many times before, it was not the nails that held him to the cross. Because he had said, could I not call how many legion of angels to deliver me? He said that in the garden when he was praying, when Peter drew the sword, he said, don't do that. Don't draw the sword. He said, if I wanted help, I could get help in an instant of time. When they tormented him, come off the cross. He could have. But had he, we would all be lost and in the power of the evil one and doomed forever on our way to hell with no hope whatsoever. Would have been lost. It was the love that Jesus had for you and for me that kept him on the cross. Because you see, he wanted you to be with him in eternity. He had his eye on eternity. And because of the joy set before him on the day when we will all be there rejoicing, throwing our crowns at his feet, shouting, our Savior lives, the Lamb is on the throne, and screaming hallelujah until we can't scream anymore. He delivered us, he delivered us, he delivered us. Jesus sees that day and he says, okay, Father, bring it on. The scorn and the shame. But he got strengthened because he had his eye on eternity. He saw the end result. And because of that, God was able to raise him up and give him a victory and honor. What am I asking you to do? Set your eye on eternity and then run this race. And run it with perseverance, as it says here. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. My dear brother and sister, things might be tough. You may be suffering persecution at work or in your families. But if you could only get a vision of eternity, it'll put everything into perspective. Whenever you have a problem, if you're fussing and fighting with the children or the wife, just say, winning this argument versus eternity. Let's put this thing in perspective. Chip, this thing doesn't matter. Eternity counts above all things. Put eternity first. Begin to think like eternity. You say, how long is eternity? Well, I'm going to tell you a little story that Pastor Jackie told when she was teaching at Bible college 25 years ago that I think is still being used today in one of the classes. She said, can you imagine a little bird flying over the island of Maui and landing on one of the high peaks, one of the rock peaks, and sharpening its beak and then flying off? And it does this once a year. And when that bird dies, another bird comes, sharpens its beak. When that bird dies, another one comes. Once a year, once a year, once a year. And when this mountain is worn down to the level of the sea by a little bird sharpening its beak, once a year, eternity would have just begun. How long is eternity? We cannot, in our finite minds, comprehend how long eternity is. But when we understand it is forever, you must know something. Eternity with God is forever, and eternity without God is also forever. The scripture we opened with, John 3:16, concludes that for this reason Jesus came, to distribute the free gift of eternal life to those who would repent and believe. Every eye closed, please. Friend, thank you for being here today. I appreciate that you took time out of your busy schedule and life to visit us at the Promised Church. You've heard a very simple message about the reason Jesus came. And now my question to you is this. Do you want a relationship with God? Are you looking for peace with God? It's called righteousness, right standing with Him. You can't get this by simply thinking about it, and you can't get it by just going to church. It comes by you believing the simple message, as profound as it is. For this reason, Jesus came. If you'll believe that with all your heart, then the gift, the free gift of eternal life and righteousness and peace and the relationship with God is yours for the taking today. If you've ever sought to know God more intimately, if you've ever sought to be free from the pain of sin, if you've ever sought peace with Him, this is the only way you get it. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. If you desire peace with God, if you desire to know Jesus intimately, if you desire to have God become your Father, and you desire to receive the free gift of eternal life, are you willing to simply raise your hand for prayer? That's all. Thank you so much for those that raised their hand. I appreciate it. God bless you. God bless you. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Jesus went to the cross. What did it take for Him to hang on that cross? I'm not asking you to hang on a cross. I'm not asking you to be beaten up. I'm not asking you to suffer persecution. All I'm asking you to do is raise your hand for prayer. Thank you so much. What a small thing. What a small thing. The Bible says if you'll take one step towards God, He'll run towards you. This is the step I'm asking you to take. That's it. Simply raise your hand for prayer. Pastor Henry, pray for me. Pray for me. I want what you've been speaking about today. I recognize and see those hands that have been raised everywhere. God bless you. God bless you for raising hands. I know God is talking to many people here this morning. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have everybody stand. And once you've stood, keep your eyes closed. It's a sacred moment. It's a sacred moment. Piano, keep playing, please. It's a sacred moment. It's all right, Pastor Henry, I raised my hand. Now what? Jesus said, if you would confess Him before men, I will confess you before my Father and before the angels. And I'm not going to ask you to confess. I'm not going to ask you to speak up. I'm not going to ask you to repent. I'm not going to ask you to do something verbally. What I am going to ask you to do is, let me pray for you. Raising your hand, let me know you are sincere. Now I'm going to say to you, we have to pray together. And you know in your heart you have to pray. You know that. You know in your heart raising your hand was not enough. You know prayer is the way. And God will hear us when we pray. So if you're sincere, come and join me if you raise your hand. Come and join me. Let me pray for you. Just come stand here with me. Thank you for coming. Give them a round of applause as they come. Come stand right here. Stand right here and face me. Step right in. Step in. Come step in. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Excuse my cold hands, okay? Thank you for coming. God is going to do something special for you. Thank you for coming, okay? I know my hands are cold. It's crazy. I'm wearing a suit and a jacket. Can't believe it. God loves you. God loves you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming. God loves you. I know He's going to do something special for you, okay? It takes a strong man to make a decision like this. And we need strong men for Jesus, okay? Thank you, sir. God bless you. Give me your hand. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. We have the pastoral staff standing behind it. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And then I'm going to ask you if you would follow me in another prayer. I'm assuming that you haven't prayed much in your life and you perhaps don't know how to pray. So if you will just allow me, I'm gonna pray a prayer for you, and then I'll ask you just to follow me. Is that okay? All right? So let me pray for you first. Father, we love these people so much, and you love them so much. You gave Jesus. Jesus, you loved them so much that you died on the cross for them. You couldn't demonstrate more love than laying down your life. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that the Holy Spirit touched these people's lives today and touched their hearts. It's such an honor to help them find peace with God, right standing with you, forgiveness from sin, and come out of the hell the devil has held them in. Oh, Lord, it's such a privilege. Now, as we ask them to pray, Holy Spirit, would you do the miracle work of saving them and causing them to be born again? I ask this in Jesus' name. Now, pray this prayer with me. Dear God, you know me. You know everything about me. And today, my whole life is before you. I repent. Forgive me from all of my sin. And most importantly, forgive me for not believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, salvation and life. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you. I give everything to you. I surrender completely. From now on, I will not run from you. I'm going to run to you. Thank you, Jesus, for accepting me as your son and as your daughter. I feel welcome. I know heaven is my home. I receive your free gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right. All right.